الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، مع بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر، وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن. صدق الله العظيم. Growing up as a youth in the United States or in the Western world in general is very trying in many, many ways. But most youth will attest to the notion that there are very few things which are as trying as that of trying to guard themselves from getting into trouble or getting into illegitimate relationships with the opposite gender. Right? Trying to control one's gaze, trying to keep, maintain one's modesty, trying to maintain one's chastity. Most people, especially most youth growing up in the U.S. today, will acknowledge that this is probably prime amongst the different struggles that they have to deal with. And sometimes, I mean, oftentimes we notice that this struggle has its times where it hits a high point, and it has times where it hits, sometimes it's easier than others. And one of those times where the struggle becomes intensified, particularly is in the situation when the weather gets hotter. Right? When it becomes summer, then the people start dressing in more scantily, they're more scantily clad, right? They're more skimpily clad, and then therefore they say the fitna goes up, right? And this is something that people observe day in and day out, right? That this struggle, this trying to stay on the straight and narrow, becomes exceedingly difficult when the fitna that comes around one goes up, you know, proportionally. It seems the amount of clothing that people wear is inversely proportional to the amount of, you know, heat there is outside on the thermometer. And, you know, it's funny, right? Because it's almost ironic. Because the very heat that drives people to take off their clothes, that very thing that they're trying to avoid, is the very thing that they're plunging themselves into. Right? When it becomes hot outside, right, people feel that we'll have some rest, some comfort by taking off our clothes. Right? And so in that very same environment, they don't see themselves thrusting themselves into that very fire in the Akhirah. And similarly, those people are people who are trying to stay on the straight and narrow, trying to stay chaste, when they try to guard their gaze and they find it so difficult because there's so much skin everywhere you look, they should also remind themselves that because the weather is hot, if I can't stand this heat, right, then how will I stand the heat of the Akhirah? How will I stand the heat of the Akhirah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that I have not left behind for my ummah any temptation. There's nothing that I fear more for my ummah than the temptation of women. Right? This was understood even from 1400 years ago in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when there was a very pure and wholesome environment. I mean, what environment could be more pure than that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? But when he said that I fear this for you, there was a tacit understanding that this is something which is difficult. This is not something which is easy, right? Someone, person doesn't have to feel bad that he says, I'm having a hard time controlling myself. I'm having a hard time trying to stay pious. Because it is hard, right? That's why Rasulullah was scared about it, right? He knew that it was going to be hard. But just because something is hard doesn't mean that you're not going to fight the good fight, right? It's hard to succeed in school, but everyone does it, right? It's hard to work and earn a livelihood for one's family. It doesn't mean that you do it, because these are things that we know we have to do. So while we understand that it is difficult, right? While we understand that it is difficult, nonetheless, we must remind ourselves that we must fight the good fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believing men in the book first, because men generally have a bigger problem with this than women. He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men. Tell them, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell them, my chaste prophet. Tell them, my modest prophet. Tell them, my Habib. Tell these people, right, that they should look down, right? They should not be looking at the opposite gender. They should not be checking the other party out. They should not let their gaze graze wherever it should like as if it was a wild camel or a, you know, dull cow that is grazing on pasture. Right? يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell them to lower their gaze. But it's very interesting what comes, the very next thing that comes in the Quran is وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And let them protect their private parts. It's very interesting why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that right after that. Because if a person wants to protect their private part, right, if he wants to stay away from doing wrong things, then the way that you do that is by controlling your gaze. If a person isn't able to control their gaze, it's going to be very difficult to control what comes after that. Because what happens is when you let your gaze go, let your gaze go, let your gaze go, every time you look, it lights a fire. Right inside. And every time you look again, once that fire is lit, then it pushes you to look more. Right? Then you feel uncomfortable if you don't look. And so every time you're looking again, it's like taking the lighter fluid, if you've ever been to a barbecue, and you're putting the lighter fluid on it, lighter fluid on it, lighter fluid on it. A person thinks that if I look, then it will take away the discomfort. Right? But it's not going to take away the fire, it's only going to make it go higher and higher and higher. You're fanning the flames. Eventually, the flames become so high that it doesn't let you sit comfortably until you do something. Because a person can't fill himself only with looking, right? Eventually, then a person will want to indulge himself. And there's only two ways that that's generally done. Either it's with the opposite gender, or it's with one's own self. And for, I mean, 90% of the United States or the Western world, they indulge in themselves and they don't even see anything wrong in that. When that's clearly not allowed, right, in the deen. But it's either going to go in this way or it's going to go that way. And both of those ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has closed for us, right? And that's why a person feels so trapped, right? But if you want to feel less trapped, then you got to cut it off from the get go. Means you have to guard the gaze. You start the battle. Not when you're in the battle, but you start way ahead of time, because you don't get yourself in that type of situation where you know you're going to fall. But women have not been absolved of this as well, right? And because in the very next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and tell the believing women, يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَ, that they should also lower their gaze, right? It's not that, you know, that, oh, because I'm a woman and I'm not looking at them like that. No. They also need to be very careful. They also need to make sure that they're not looking at the opposite gender. They're not checking them out. They're not casting lustful and desirous gazes at the opposite gender, which is so easy to do to go to the mall. And there are several reasons why this is the case. Right? There are several reasons why this is the case. Reason number one is that it comes that لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاذِرَ وَالْمَنْذُورَةَ إِلَيْهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's la'na, His curse, is on the person who looks and the person who is being looked at. Both of them are in big trouble. La'na, when you talk about la'na in the Arabic language, this means we translate it as curse. But what is the haqiqah of la'na? Right? Look, if you're walking on the street and someone tells you a curse word, right? You're ready to fight with them, right? Because that's about as bad of a word that you can tell anyone is, you know, you curse at them, right? That's why they call them curse words, because this is the worst thing you can throw at them. But what does that mean in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't, na'udhu billah, use quote-unquote curse words. What it means, la'na in the Arabic language means al-bu'du an rahmatillah, or is classically defined by scholars as al-bu'du an rahmatillah, that being outside, being far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that might seem like a very small thing, but every beat of our heart, every breath that we take, every piece of food that we eat, this is all the rahmah of Allah. Everything that we enjoy in our life is the rahmah of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is so vast that you can even ascribe a partner to him and then he still gives these kuffar people, these kuffar food to eat. Right? Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. And my rahmah is so vast, it is so expansive, that includes and encompasses and covers everything. So imagine how dastardly, how wretched a person must have to be if he wants to remove himself out of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And so by looking, right, and trying to make yourself looked at, right, making oneself up, making oneself attractive, both ways, right? For example, it comes in riwayat that a woman who puts on perfume, not even makeup, just perfume, and she goes into a gathering, she's an adulteress. She's an adulteress, right? So if that's just perfume, then what do you think about, you know, making, you know, wearing makeup and tight clothes and all these other things, right? And trying to make yourself attractive for the opposition. But both people are stuck, both the one who's looking and the one who's being looked at. So one needs to be very, very careful. And there's, I mean, if you think about it, it actually makes sense. There's a story about a very beautiful woman, right, who comes to a mufti. And she comes to the mufti and she says, mufti, you have to give me a fatwa. So she was wearing niqab, right? So she's like, you have to give me a fatwa that my husband can't get a second wife. Right, and he's like, I can't give you that fatwa, right? It's permissible for you to, for him technically to get a second wife. She says, eventually she got frustrated and she left. And she says, you know what? If I were to lift this veil, then you would have given the fatwa that it's not permissible for my husband to have a second wife. Because basically she's saying, I'm so beautiful, right? My husband shouldn't have any need for anyone else because I'm all that, right? And more. So why is my husband going looking for anything else, right? She says, if you were to see me, then you would have given that fatwa. But imagine how the creator of beauty must feel, right? The creator of Jamal must feel. How must Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at it when He's the very creator of beauty? Imagine how beautiful He is when a person turns his eyesight away from Allah and looks at something which is very cheap and low, right? How much that must incite the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how one removes himself, right? He's like, you want to look at that? Just get out of here. Go ahead, go look, have your eyes full. Why do you need to look at me? Right, that type of environment can perhaps be created when one looks at the things that they shouldn't be looking at. Right, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a ghira. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most ghira. In fact, He has this honorful pride, majestic grandeur that we should not, you know, rub in the wrong way. We should be very careful. We should be very careful. Understand that the first look that happens, happenstance. Right, happenstance, that one is excused. But when you look again, that second one is an arrow from shaitan. Straight to the heart. Right? Straight to the heart. Imagine if I said that there was bullets flying in East St. Louis, right? Then who would be walking on the road? Everyone would duck for cover. They say, I'd rather stay somewhere safe, right? Someplace safe. Now imagine that a person is walking, right, every day on the road, and shaitan has his arrow, he has his AK-47, and he has it aimed right at your heart, right? He's ready to download. He's ready to download. People think that when they go on the internet, then they download certain files, something's being downloaded onto a computer. But at the same time, shaitan is downloading his bullets on your heart. A person needs to be very careful. A person needs to be very careful. So there's some 10 tips to bear in mind, which inshallah will make it easier for the person who's traveling the path to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guard their gaze. Number one, understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching you. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Doesn't he know that Allah is watching? Understand that if anyone is watching you, no one likes to check out someone else. Even if you're a non-Muslim, right, and you're sitting there drooling and other people are looking at you, they say, look at that guy, he's just an animal, right? No one likes to be seen like as an animal, right? People try to hide and look at these type of things. But understand, no matter where you hide, in the darkest and darkest and darkest of closets, in some type of cave, where there's no one else there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there. If there are two people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the third. If there are three people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fourth. If there are five, Allah is the sixth. There's no escape from Allah. Right? Even if you're in a fortified palace on the top of some mountain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you there. Allah basirum bima ya'malun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to, His sight fully encompasses everything that we do. Imagine, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ الْعَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. Didn't we not create for him two eyes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave us the eyesight to see. Don't we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to see us? So understand that no matter where we are, what we are doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. If a person bears this in mind, then this will make it very easy for them to try to abstain from looking at what they should not be looking. And also remember that the very person who gave us eyes, right? He's watching us. How can I use the same eyes that he gave me for some bad purpose? Right? For some bad purpose. It's the worst use of a gift. If a person that you really respect, you really honor, some big sheikh comes and says, here's my shawl, right? So then you treasure it, you say, oh, this has so much barakah, you put it in a nice place, you keep it in a clean place. What if he comes to your house and the same sheikh or mulana or alim scholar, he comes and he sees you wiping the toilet with that, right? How would he feel? Imagine, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these eyes, why would we want to throw it in the toilet of the world? Right? The toilet of the world. So number one, realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching. Number two, understand that the more that you look, the more that you torture yourself. The more that you look, the more you torture yourself. Because I told you, it only ends up in one of two things, right? Because looking in itself will never fully satisfy a person. You know, Imam Ash-Shafi'i Thanwi, in this regard, said something very beautiful. He said, looking is the disease of the idiots. Right? Because you neither give nor do you receive. Right? No matter how much you look at her, it will not make you, she will not become yours. Right? It's not like if I look at her for one more minute, she's going to become mine. Right? You can look at her until you're blue in the face, she's not going to become yours. Right? While at the same time, the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for you to be halal, no matter what you do, she will become yours. Right? So you're engaging in an activity that does not benefit you in any way. Right? That's what, except it tortures you. Right? Except that it tortures you. That's why looking and gazing at what one should not gaze at is the disease of the idiot. Right? So understand that a person should try not to be an idiot. Right? Why does one want to torture themselves? Understand, in the beginning it becomes very difficult to control the gaze. But once the gaze comes under control, then one finds a quietude, a calm, a peace in their life, which is golden. Imagine, then the person will say, oh, I remember I was always in so much anxiety, I was so uncomfortable, I was having such a difficult time before, I was never at rest. Right? Always this struggle, struggle, struggle. But once one finds some type of peace, then it becomes very easy. Number four, a person should remember that he would like to save himself or herself from embarrassment on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine if someone is looking at a wrong magazine or a wrong website and someone's mother walks into the room. Person, all of a sudden, right, they're startled, right? They're like, oh, and then they just almost feel like crying in that spot because they feel like I don't have anything, like there's nothing to say, right? Person's stuck. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine if we have to stand in front of, first of all, our mothers, Umm Aisha radiallahu anha, Umm Khatija radiallahu ta'ala anha, on the day of Qiyamah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them our deeds that your children were doing this. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our deeds manifest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And most of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, if he presents those deeds, and we have to say that, yes Allah, I looked at this in front of Allah. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the deception of the eyes. When you're sneaking those furtive glances, right, and you thought no one knew about it, Allah knew about it. And then وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. The Quran is so amazing. Because look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what the chest conceals, literally translated. So what's the rabt, what's the connection there? Because after one's looks, right, then a person starts having, let his imagination go free. right? It has drama inside. The movie's playing inside. Then I'm going to do this for her, and I would say this, and she would say this, then I would do this, and I would touch this. And the rated X movies are always playing inside, right? وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورُ. No one can see it, right? No one knows what movie's playing inside. But it starts with the glance, and then the movie plays. But Allah knows what the movie that's playing, and He also knew that, you know, the ticket that you bought to start the movie. So that was number three. Number five, people often, you know, say that Islam is a religion, na'udhu billah, that suppresses, that subjugates, that's against women, so on and so forth. Right? And we are the first ones to say, no, Islam is not that, it's a defender of the rights of women. If it really is that case, then men should be men, and we should stand for the honor of women. The feminist movement has fallen on its face, right? It has not been able to achieve its goals. But look at the status that Islam, women have just ended up being sexual objects of pleasure, eye candy for men. Everywhere you look, you can see whatever you want, however you want. You need not to go farther than the grocery aisle to see the great status, right, and izzah and honor that has been awarded women in this country, in the Western world, right? There's just something cheap. Islam has said women are so high that, oh men, you don't have the right to raise your eyes to look at them. They're a high thing. They're a precious thing. And everyone knows that if something is precious, then you keep it hidden, right? If you have a precious jewel, you keep it guarded, right? The women are the jewels of Islam. So we keep them guarded. We keep them covered. We keep them, you know, prized. So understand that every time you cast a wrong glance at the opposite gender, you're disrespecting that woman. What did she do to you? What evil did she know that she level on you that you need to go and disgrace her by checking her out? It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. The way that we honor women is that we control ourselves. Number six, understand that rather than looking at any woman that you see out there, wouldn't you rather look at the Hur al-Ain in Jannah? Why do you want to trade looks at the women in this world for looks at the beautiful maidens that exist in Jannah? Their beauty is such that if they were to look in the world, it would be enough to enlighten everything between the earth and where they are. If they were to take off their head veil, it would be enough to decorate, to charm, to adorn what is between the heavens and the earth. And were they to even stick their palm into the world, it would create mischief and fitna. Forget about women showing their whole body creating fitna. Imagine if their palm can create fitna, then what the rest of their beauty will create. Their beauty is like that when you hold a lamp up to the sun, the way that lamp pales in comparison to the light of the sun, in the same way that beauty of the sun will pale in comparison to the light which exists within the Hur and the maidens of Jannah. So why does one want to trade these very temporary glances at something which will not benefit for the permanent glances of the Akhirah? And what is more, is why would one trade these furtive glances, which doesn't really benefit one and only tortures one, for a glance at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let us behold Himself, then why do you want to taint those eyes? Why do you want to sully those eyes? Why do you want to dirty those eyes, which will get to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? You want to take them as pristine mirrors that, Ya Allah, these are the only type of eyes which are worthy at laying eyes and being cast upon you. We want to take something pure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgot what number we are on. Number seven, right? You need to try to avoid that type of environment in which a person knows that he continually fails, right? Which means, and this has happened even in the time of Sahaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw a group of the Sahaba, they were sitting on the street, and he told them, he says, go to your homes. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, or to that effect, and they say, Ya Rasulullah, we have nowhere else to go. Meaning that we had nowhere else that we can go and sit and talk, because they're they were people of meager means. And so Rasulullah says and said, if you have to sit on the road, right, then give the haq of the road, meaning lower the gaze, right? Do not harm anyone, enjoin good, forbid evil. Which one of us, when sees someone dressed inappropriately, has the guts to go up to him and say, sister, you shouldn't be dressing like this? No one's gonna do that. Right? That's a very high, you know, call if you want to give the true right of the road. So the best thing is to keep yourself either in the masjid or at home as much as possible. The time that you have to leave is school, or if you have to work, then you have to work. Right? Beyond that, and that's generally when people actually get hit harder, school and work. When you're in that environment, try to be as careful as possible. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, today I'm going out. I don't have the power to control myself. Ya Allah, you help me control my gaze. Number 8. Remember that every person here has a mother, right? Some of us have a sister. Some of us have a daughter. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know, it was so beautiful. The Sahaba were so simple. You know, they would come to Rasulullah and just ask the question that was on their mind. They wouldn't be like, you know, I have a friend, and that friend is themselves, right? Who has this problem, and you know, what do you think they should do? Right? They just said it. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what should I, you know, if I look at a woman, what should I do? I think it was Jabir radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah said, you should look away. Right? Simple question, simple answer. One person, he came to Rasulullah and he said, Rasulullah, I want to do zina. Right? Imagine someone coming to a scholar, right, and saying, Mufti Sahib, I want to do zina. No one would do that. But they felt that comfortable with Rasulullah, and he made them feel that comfortable. They said, I want to do zina. And so Rasulullah, look how beautifully he explained to him. He said that, don't you have a mother? Right? Don't you have a sister? Don't you have a daughter? To this effect, right? She said, that woman is also someone, would you like any, and the person said that, would you like someone to do zina with your mother? Do you want someone to sleep with your mother? You want someone to sleep with your sister? Someone to sleep with your daughter? The person would say, of course not. And he said that person is also someone's mother. She's also someone's daughter. She's also someone's sister, right? Why do you want to do that? If you do not like it for yourself, why do you like it for someone else? Muslim or non-Muslim, immaterial. Muslim or non-Muslim, immaterial. And then the other thing that one can do to try to help themselves control their gaze is that understand that the person that you're looking at, right, contemplate on their faults. It's very easy to idealize the look at a beautiful woman, right? But beauty isn't everything. First of all, it's the fact that she's displaying herself says something about her character. If you're looking at her, that also means everyone else is looking at her too, right? Why do you want something which is open for the public? Why do you want to engage in something which is open for public? Right? Come one, come all. No. Right? We want what is precious, what is beautiful. لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. Look at the women in Jannah. They are women who neither any man has touched nor any jinn. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made women like that in the dunya. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made women like that in the dunya who are so chaste, who are so righteous, they guard their gaze, they are like the maidens of Jannah on earth. Right? Subhanallah. But if we want to have those type of beautiful women for our own selves, right? الطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات. That the pure ones are for the pure men are for the pure women, and the pure women are for the pure men. Right? Not in that. The pure women are for the pure men, and the pure men are for the pure women. So if you want to have a pure, lovely, chaste wife, then we should also be chaste. What type of hypocrisy is this? That we want to look and do everything that we want, but at the same time we want a beautiful, you know, chaste, modest wife. How many of us would be happy if we got married to our wife, right, and our wife was looking at someone else? No one would like it. So if you want to guard that, right, they say in this country, what goes around comes around. If you don't want to get hit from the other side, right? Then we should exercise that. Inshallah, if we guard our gaze in this youth, when it's such a difficult struggle, and understand that this is a difficult struggle. But as difficult the struggle is, then the reward is also that great. The reward is also that great. The person who looks down, he will find the sweetness of faith in his heart. He will get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this time when there are so few people who are engaging in this sunnah, if a person engaging in trying to fulfill this mandate, if a person remains assiduous in trying to guard his gaze, then inshallah, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them with very high ranks in the akhirah. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who remain extremely, extremely, extremely chaste, extremely, and have tremendous amount of haya in their daily interactions, in their daily life, and he saves us from every type of haram glance, every type of haram interaction, every type of even makruh interaction, and gives us spouses which are the coolness of our eyes, and keeps us together in Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.